That is shared here today, give glory unto your name through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. So, there is a lot that's been going on in this last while, and it would be lovely to take the time to share it all. I'd like to just start with two things. The first one is just that yesterday, thank you all for your prayers, those of you who are praying for us, as we requested. Your corporation and parish council met for a retreat with our beloved Bishop Greg, and we spent the day from about 9 till 4 in worship and prayer, in scripture study, in discussion, and just learning about what Jesus wants us to do as your leadership team in the year to come and going forward. And it was really profound. God spoke so clearly to us in so many ways, and the Holy Spirit was so present, and the teaching of the bishop was so awesome to receive. I'd just like to invite you, those who are present, please stand. Your team, your leadership team. If you look around the room, you can kind of see. I'm asking them to stand, and Patricia was there, and George was there, and Rome. I want you to see who they are, because over coffee, I'd like you to ask them the question. What was the one thing you took away from yesterday that you felt the Lord told you? There, now you're all on the spot, and you all get to do mini sermons. Okay, good. You can be seated. We looked at prophecy that was spoken over us when Reverend Tony Hilling was here that he received, and we looked at the book of Haggai, zeroing in on specific verses in the second, but we looked at the book. So I encourage you to read the book of Haggai, because there's a lot. It's only two chapters. I've encouraged our leadership team to just kind of review it once a month on a continuing basis, for God has called us to this time of building. In the last couple of years, we have laid foundations for all the work of mission and ministry that God has called us to here in this place. And now this year is the building year, where we can actually start raising up something solid on the foundations according to God's command. So I encourage you to read that, because it will help you have a picture of some of the things that will be happening in the course of this year. And think of us as being builders. The other thing we concentrated on was Matthew 28, where we looked at the verses regarding our call to live out our discipleship in the order, command, to make disciples, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we were told that we need to be actively engaged. We then focused on Matthew 25, where Jesus separated the sheep and the goats. We didn't waste any time on the goats. We decided that wasn't us. We kind of like being the sheep, I'm just telling you. Those of us in the room that were on the right hand of the bishop got to start first as the sheep. Those of us on the left weren't happy about being in the goat section. But it was all good. And we focused on what it means to do missional outreach. And we had a very clear picture. And the thing that I really loved that came out of that, a word that Patricia received was and shared with us, was the idea of all the verbs, right, that were in there. What were some of the verbs?
Feed.
Clothe.
Visit.
Care. It was this constant barrage of verbs in that particular scripture, which basically meant be active, take action, do. You know, I don't believe in pew sitters, right? We're all called to ministry and mission. We all have a function in the church. We all have something we're called to do. So I just wanted to share that from yesterday to give you an idea. Your leadership team was just amazing, and oh, I wish I could share everything that the Holy Spirit said. I think for me, one of the things that I felt very clearly in the course of the day, I was told, do the difficult things. Does that sound scary? Do the difficult things. Everyone had something different, and it was profound. I want you to be encouraged because there was such a presence of God and the Holy Spirit upon us in the room, and there was such a presence in the worship as Rob led us in some music, such a presence of God in what the bishop shared. But what was so powerful was the unity that was present in our leadership team, and I'm so grateful for that, for the work that God has done. So there, that's enough about yesterday, except to conclude with what the bishop said. We all took turns summing up the day, and what the bishop said, he got up and he looked at all of us with this great joy on his face, and he said, "Wow, I have such hope for St. Peter's." He said, he was overjoyed at what he saw in the team that was present from here. And he said, "I'm just thrilled with that." So it was a deep blessing for the bishop to kind of see what we're doing and what we're about. So I want to encourage you with that word. So I was going to talk about the measure of love today, but I've decided I'm not going to do that. I had a really great fish story about fishing. Sorry, guys. But I want to talk about death and resurrection, Corinthians, and I'm not going to speak much to that. You know, one of the most interesting things that's said in that particular scripture verse is about the body. How are the dead raised, and with what kind of body do they come? And of course, the response we get from Paul is, "Fool!" In other words, you just don't get it. Flesh and blood can't inherit spirit. It's why you and I have the Holy Spirit. You see, it's the Spirit of God that brings us into glory, into whatever our new body will be. So I'm going to share one thing, and then I'm going to actually invite my brother, the Venerable Alan Getty, to come forward and share a testimony. And I want to encourage you because over time, as this year unfolds and we start doing more things, we're going to have multiple testimonies that will be shared with us from our body and people and things that God is doing in their lives. We want to celebrate what God is doing. But a week before Lawrence passed into glory, he came to me first thing in the morning over coffee and said, "Bonnie," he said, "I had this dream, a vision dream, I'm not sure what it was, and I need to ask you about it." Now, the week before, Lawrence had been asking me what kind of body. It was like, I don't know if he read this scripture or not, but he asked me, "What kind of body am I going to have in heaven? Bonnie, I don't want to be a float of light bouncing around on a cloud somewhere. What am I going to have?" And I immediately took him to scripture, and we talked about Jesus' body after his resurrection and all the things he could do and all of the ability he had. And so Lawrence said, "Okay, that's great. That's what we talked about the week before." He was all happy. Well, when he woke up from this dream, he came to me and he says, "Bonnie, I just want you to know I don't have any worries anymore." He said, "I saw my body." And he said, "All was fine." He said, that was actually the minor part. So I'm not going to share what was the major part at this point. But for him, in this vision, he saw heaven and he saw his body, and the question was answered for him. We have a supernatural God because you and I are supernatural beings. God is involved in every aspect of our life, the hard things, the easy things, and the things we don't ever want to talk about or touch. God knows, and God's involved. So with that, I'm just going to invite my brother Alan. Please come forward. And Alan did not plan for this, but the Holy Spirit told me yesterday I was supposed to wait and see if something else would happen today, and I believe this is it. So I think this microphone works. God bless you, brother. The Lord be with you. Rob.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. through Jesus Christ, our strength and Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Alan. I am an archdeacon in the diocese and also the incumbent priest of the parish of Meota. Many of you I've met before, because as you recall, Meota's that lovely little church out in Millerville, Christ Church, where we have our joint picnic, and hopefully we'll get to do that again. That would be lovely. So for those of you who I know, it's wonderful to see you again, and for those of you who I haven't met, I look forward to meeting you after the service. It's an honor to be asked to come and to speak, especially in a church that's not under your own charge. So, Bonnie, thank you for that honor to allow me to speak to your congregation today. But it's not without fear and trembling, without having anything prepared and being asked to speak off the cuff. It's always a bit of a daunting thing. No preacher should ever stand in the pulpit without shaking and trembling at the fear of the Lord, but it's an extra special fear without any preparation. So I do pray that the Holy Spirit guide me and give me the words that you need to hear today from my experience. I want to share with you my story of what God has been doing in my life over the last month. And at the end, I think I want to tie it in a little bit to what the Lord might be doing here for you. Almost a month ago, exactly to this day, I had a massive heart attack. They call it the Widowmaker. And the fact that I'm here to speak to you today is nothing short of a miracle of God's hand on my life. I can't tell you why some are spared like myself and some are called home to glory. I can't elucidate the mysteries of God for you, but I can tell you that whatever his plan and purpose, it is always good. Always good. And we need to be bold in following where he would call us. We need to be courageous in living out what he has asked us to do. And we need to be constantly in conversation with him. You've received some incredible encouragement as the leadership of this parish, and as the parishioners of this parish, you have just as much work to do with your leadership. You don't leave it all to them. No, quite the opposite. It's going to take courage to do things that you never thought you could do before. And you can do it because God is with you.
Amen.
And that was my experience through this journey of a health crisis. God has been with me. He's been with my family. It started early in the morning. I felt a little bit off that night and woke up around 4:30 a.m. and didn't feel right. And there was no classic indication that there was anything wrong, that I was experiencing a heart attack. I just felt off. I didn't have chest pains. I didn't have shortness of breath. Didn't have any pain in my arm. You know, what they tell you to look out for. None of that. But something was off. Now, this is not to my credit, but I encourage you, if ever you find yourself in a situation like this, pray. That's what I did. I prayed. And I just got a sense the Spirit was saying this is serious. Now, one of the things you probably don't know about me is I hate hospitals. It's kind of a funny profession to be in as someone who has to go and visit there quite often, but I've never liked the hospital, ever. I just, not only that, but just the inconvenience that it brings when that kind of stuff comes into your life. I didn't want to bother with that, especially at, 4 in the morning. I just got this nudge that, no, this is serious. And the Holy Spirit said, wake up your wife. I said, I can't wake my wife up. It's Saturday. This is the one day out of the whole week she gets to sleep in. I can't wake Kim up. No, you need to wake Kim up. So I did. I gave her a nudge and said, Kim, I don't feel right. This, I think, looking back on it, is a great example for why we need each other in the body of Christ. We can't do it by ourselves. Yes, I was there. I was talking to God, but God needed me to reach out to someone beyond myself. I needed my wife. I needed someone else. Because it was Kim who had the wisdom to say, call 911. If it wasn't for her, I never would have called 911. And if it wasn't for her, I never would have had the opportunity to speak to you. You see, God calls us into community with each other. We saw it all in the story of Joseph, didn't we? Right? Even in a broken family, God redeemed it and used it for his good purpose. And not just to bless that family, but to save an entire nation from famine. Talk about being saved from death. No, it was Kim who said, tell you what, let's call 911, and if we're the idiots who called 911 for nothing, let's let them tell us that. And if not, then we're going to be glad we did. Well, in under 7 minutes, EMS arrived. They kind of took one look at me and said, oh, okay, let's just check you out. And they put all the monitors on, and then they went into fast forward. They knew something was seriously wrong. Long story short, they stabilized me and they called in STARS Air Ambulance to rush me from Okotoks all the way to the Foothills Hospital here in Calgary. Kim later looked at me and said, Alan, if you really wanted a helicopter ride, there was better ways to do that. But they got me into the ER in Foothills just as another patient had arrived with another heart attack who they rushed into the emergency room. So there wasn't room for me. But as I came in, I had another nudge from the Holy Spirit. There was a nurse who was helping bring me in, and I looked into his eyes, and I just knew I needed to ask him to pray for me. Again, I needed someone else. I could pray. I had been praying. But God asked me to reach out to someone else again. And I looked at him. I said, are you a believer? And he kind of went wide-eyed, and he nodded his head. I said, would you pray for me? And he said, yeah. Now, the other nurse had heard it, and she looked at me and said, oh, there, it's okay, don't be afraid. And I thought, that's a funny thing to say, because nowhere in this whole entire process has I ever been afraid. Not because I'm some amazing person who can laugh in the face of fear. Quite the opposite. No, it was the grace of God. It was staying connected to God in prayer that allowed me to know that even though this was serious, he was in control. He was in charge. Whatever happened, it was going to be okay. Throughout this entire crisis, there was a peace that passes all understanding. No sooner had that nurse tried to calm me down, saying, don't be afraid, and me going, oh, what's your problem? My body stabilized. So much so that the emergency doctor kind of looked at me and said, what are you doing here? Interesting, again, looking back, it was the Lord's timing. His grace was sufficient to stabilize me long enough for the other heart attack patient to be seen to, so that there would then be room for me. It also allowed for Liam and Kim to come and be with me. Now, it was a bit of a blessing and a curse, if you could call it that they were there, because when they were ready for me, that's when I died. My heart stopped. Unfortunately, or fortunately, my wife and my eldest son had to witness that. And we're still unpacking that. But I can tell you that everything that you have heard in the scripture today is true. Because I experienced it. When my heart stopped, it was as if I just closed my eyes and I went into this place of perfect and pure light. This incredible golden light. I can't give you too many details because it's kind of like when you wake up from a dream and you remember what it felt like, but you can't quite grasp the details. You have a sense of what was there, but you can't explain it. That's what it's like now for me. I remember how I felt. I kind of remember it generally, but I can't tell you the specific details. Other than that, when I went into this place of pure, perfect, golden light, I knew I was in the presence of God. It's kind of like when we're worshiping here and the Holy Spirit comes and you feel the Holy Spirit. I hope you've experienced it. If you haven't, ask him. Say, Lord, I want to experience your Holy Spirit at worship. It was like that, but 1,000 times better. It was unfiltered. There was no barrier anymore. There was no separation. I was in the presence of God, and I knew it. I just knew I was there. And the feeling of being in his presence was pure joy, peace, love, euphoria, ecstasy. We don't have a word that describes adequately what it is to be in the presence of God, other than you're in the presence of the Holy One. And all you can do is just glorify him. And then I became aware, kind of in this surrounding room, there was a cloud, is the only way I can describe it, a cloud of witnesses. Whether they were angels or people, or I don't know, but I wasn't alone. I was in the presence of God with others. It was incredible. So when Paul talks about these things that you've heard in Corinthians today, it's true. Every word of it is true. And I think that's important, because when we get busy doing the good things that we're called to do, sometimes we forget why we're doing them. You've been called to a great work here at St. Peter's. You receive some incredible words at your retreat of things that you can do. But never forget why it is you're doing them. You're not doing it for the sake of good works. You're not doing it to help people, although that's a good thing. Ultimately, this is about the salvation of our souls. This is about restoring the relationship that was lost through sin with our God. This is about allowing God to move us together as a community, as the body of Christ, back into relationship with him so that we might be in his presence. That the mortal might become immortal, that the perishable might become imperishable. We forget that this world is fading away, and all the good things that we do here ultimately fade away. The only thing that lasts is the treasures that we store up in heaven. And that, dear friends, that only happens when we love God above all things and seek to serve him and work according to his goodwill and purpose. Amen. So as you discover what God has called you to do, never ever forget who you are as the body of Christ. Never ever forget why it is we are who we are, why Jesus died and rose again, why it is we are a resurrection people.
Amen.
And that's what allows us to move forward with that boldness and courage that we need. Mm-hmm. It's knowing who God is and who he has called us to be. Well, it was an incredible place to be, let me tell you, but it wasn't my time to stay there. They brought me back. The good old, you know, this is clear, toof. I don't remember anything of that. All I remember is that when they brought me back, someone was calling my name, and I felt amazing. I felt better than I ever have in my entire life. And I imagine that's probably the resurrection body feeling, mm-hmm. right? That's why Lawrence probably didn't have any concerns. Like, yeah, okay, I got it. That's all, yeah, it's all good.
I'm good.
It's good. It's great. It's amazing. And then I slowly became aware of my surroundings and what was going on around me. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm having a heart attack. Well, they rushed me in and they took the x-rays and images of my heart. And sure enough, there was 100% blockage on one side. Another 70% blockage on the other. They got me in, put a stent in, stabilized me, and took me up to the ICU. As I was kind of processing what had happened, I began to talk to God and said, okay, what does this mean? And Lord, is there going to be healing from this? I've seen miraculous healing. I've experienced miraculous healing. God heals. And again, why some, not others? Why some partially, some not all? I don't know. I don't know, but I trust him. I trust him with my life. Whatever God's will is, whatever his purpose is, however it works, dear brothers and sisters, please know that you can trust him and he will work all things for good. And so I was asking him, and God spoke to me. He said something that I'm still unpacking. And I think it's true for me individually, but I'm wondering if it's true for us as the body of Christ, as the people of God too. As I was talking to God, he said, "It is me to care. It is for me to care for your soul. It is for you to care for your body." I can tell you on a superficial level what that means, but I suspect it goes a lot deeper. God takes care of us. He takes care of the things that we can't take care of. Scripture says, what can we give exchange for our soul? What good does it do us to gain the whole world, to do every good work, and yet forfeit our soul? We have nothing that we can give in exchange. And that's why God took care of that for us. Through his Son, Jesus Christ, he's redeemed our souls. But he doesn't want us to become complacent, lazy, or even distracted from who we are meant to be. We need to take care of the things that God has called us to care for. For me, it is to care for my body physically. I haven't done a good job of that. And I can have all sorts of great excuses. I think clergy are probably some of the worst for self-care and whatnot. So please know that as I tell you to take care of yourself, this is very much the pot calling the kettle black. You need to take care of yourselves. Because our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And remember that purpose? Our purpose is to glorify God. Does it glorify God that I let my temple get run down? Cluttered up, blocked up pipes? Bad plumbing? No, that doesn't glorify God. We are called to live into the truth of who God has created us to be. And that's not the truth the world will give you. The expectations, the workload, the lack of good habits. On the negative side, the distraction into those vices that we would use to otherwise numb our doubts, our pains, our fears. That's not what we're called to. God has so much more. But that's not where the miracles stop. The fact that I'm here, this series of events as they unfolded, the timing had to be perfect. Because the next day the ICU doctor came to me and said, I've got good news for you and I've got bad news for you. The bad news is if you've had a massive heart attack. The good news is you had it here in the hospital. Because if you hadn't been in the emergency room, we couldn't have done anything for you. You wouldn't be here. So God's timing to get me to where I needed to be, to get the help that I needed from others, was a miracle in and of itself. But there's something else that happened that was miraculous. As some of you might know, they keep you for observation after you've been in the hospital. They keep you for about 3-4 days, and they want to see how you're recovering. Because after a heart attack, there's always going to be damage to your heart, and they need to know how much there is, how the functioning is going to be. And they put you through a whole battery of tests. Now, as I was unpacking, what does it mean that I now need to care for my body in a different way? Can I do this? Is it even possible? The doctor came in with the results from all of these tests and exams that they put me through to see how damaged my heart was. And the doctor came in and he said, well, I've got your results, and to be frank with you, I can't explain it. Explain what? your heart's functioning normally. Now, I don't understand the numbers or the percentages, but they basically measure how efficiently your heart is pumping. And the more damage, the less efficient, right? Well, there's a range of numbers that they look for in people, usually between 55 and 65. 55 is pretty low. Anything under that is really concerning. 65, that's if you're taking really good care of yourself, you're exercising, maybe you're an athlete, you know, something like that. Most people fit somewhere in the middle, and what they're looking for is usually for someone to be functioning around 60. That's the number they expect, 60. The doctor looked at me and said, I don't know how to explain this, but your heart is functioning at 59. Praise be to God. You see, in caring for my body, I'm not caring for it alone. God is with me there too. Not only has he redeemed my soul, but he is there to help me care for the temple of the Holy Spirit that he has entrusted me with. I could go on and on about all the other things that God has shown me over the last month, but suffice to say, God is with you. He has redeemed you. And he is with you as you care for yourself as an individual, but I think it's to care for this body of Christ. You've been through a lot here at St. Peter's. Boy, you've been through a lot. But it's precisely those experiences that God uses to bring glory to his name. It's through death, and only through death, that we can experience resurrection. And God has that for you. He has a mighty purpose for you. And not so that you might feel good about yourselves and give yourself a pat on the back, but that you might glorify him. That you might proclaim the good news to others who've not yet heard that there is a God who has redeemed their souls and is there to care for them. It is the salvation that has come to us through God's grace that we have been blessed to then proclaim and to live out and to bear witness to, not just with the words of our lips, but every action in our lives. And I think most powerfully, as we come together as the worshiping body. What you're doing today is something that many people don't do anymore, that the world thinks is antiquated, passé. At worst, they say it's a bad thing that you believe in such superstitious hocus-pocus and go to church on Sunday morning. And yet, by your very presence here today, you are standing firm in the truth and bearing witness to the light that has shone into the world, which is Jesus Christ. And it is the truth. And if you didn't believe it before today, I'm going to tell you, I've been there. You can believe it. There's nothing more true. There's nothing more important. So, dear friends, I hope that my unscripted testimony has been an encouragement for you today. I hope that the Holy Spirit has taken something of my experience and has been a blessing for you. I pray that it encourages you as you walk the path that he has set before you, both individually, but maybe even more importantly, as a body of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Just hang on. Oh, thank you, brother. Okay.
So we're gonna pray for Brother Allen. I'm inviting my elders to come up. Elders. That's like corporation, parish council, elders. We're going to lay hands on Brother Allen. We're just going to pray and for the work. Kim, would you like